Charles Tete is in the house to be a blessing to us. He is pastor in charge of Praise Cathedral, the Action Chapel International Praise Cathedral in Kwabena. And this morning, he's going to be a blessing to us with the word of the Lord. My brother, good morning. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing well, my
praise
brother.
Praise God.
Pastor, you are blessed.
Amen.
Listeners, you are blessed online. Hallelujah. Good morning.
Hallelujah. All right, so without further ado, I'm going to hand over the microphone, baton to you. Please be a blessing to us this morning.
Praise the Lord, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Thank you so much. This morning, I have a short word for you, and it's a word that I believe will bless you in your homes. I want to talk on the topic. I want to give you 7 steps to effective prayer. Mm. I believe we all, as Christians, the Bible demands, the Bible tells us, Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. I believe all of us are praying. But the question is, are prayer effective? Are prayers answered? And this morning, I want to give you 7 keys, 7 steps to effective prayer. Because of time, I'll go straight to the point so that you can have something in your spirit. Now, these are the 7 steps to effective prayer. Number one, if you want your prayers to be effective, if you want to become a man of prayer who have results in his prayers, the first step is find a quiet place and time. Find a quiet place and time. We have time for everything, but most of us don't have time for prayer. And we choose different times in prayer and all that. But when we go into scripture, and if we indeed believe that Jesus Christ is our perfect example, then Mark chapter 1 verse 35 tells us that now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. So you see, Jesus even had a place, a quiet place where he goes every morning at a particular time. He goes there to pray and seek the face of the Father. So the first step to effective prayer is you finding a quiet place and a particular time in the day. And you must go there consistently. It must be a routine. So a daily routine prayer life in a quiet place is a spiritual discipline that helps with the spiritual development and empowerment of every Christian. We say that prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. He who begins his day in God's presence, like we are doing today, always ends his day in victory. Amen. So you don't make time for God in the morning, you watch it. Your whole day will be a day of sorrow. You won't even enjoy your day. You see, David prayed 3 times a day in the temple as a lifestyle. In Psalm 55, verse 17, Bible said David goes to the temple the same time, the same place, 3 times a day. Daniel maintained a routine prayer life in Babylon, in his room daily. And he became so addicted that the laws of Babylon could not prevent him from praying. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Jesus had a routine prayer life in the mountains at a quiet place. And this is how Christians must behave themselves. And you see, the disciples of Jesus Christ also maintain a routine prayer life in the temple daily. They call it the hour of prayer, the hour of prayer. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible said, at the hour of prayer, they went to the temple as they always do. So, my dear brother and sister, do you have a routine prayer life? Prayer is not any time you want to do it. It must be a routine. And you must have a quiet place where you go to seek the face of God. A victorious Christian life begins at the altar of prayer. It is advisable to seek God in the early hours of the day before attending to other activities. So the first step is find a quiet place and a time for prayer. Number two, if you want your prayers to be effective, the second thing you must know is what we call forgiveness. We have Christians who are praying, you know, from by 12, they're on prayer line. Everybody is praying. But the question is, are your prayers effective? The second thing that makes your prayer effective is forgiveness. Mark chapter 11, verses 25. The Bible says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. So the question is, if you stand praying, are you sure you don't have something against somebody? Are you sure there are no offenses in your heart against someone? Jesus Christ is saying that before you lift up your voice in prayer, check your heart if you have anything against someone. Now, Psalm 66 verse 18 tells us, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So when you regard iniquity in your heart, and on this point, we are saying that unforgiveness. If you regard iniquity in your heart, your prayer will not be effective. Forgiveness is the process of ceasing to feel resentment or hunger towards someone who has wronged you, regardless of whether they deserve it or not. It's a conscious decision to let go of negative emotions like bitterness and vengeance. One of the most dangerous sins that hinders answers to our prayers is the sin of bitterness that has its roots in an unforgiving heart. Brothers and sisters, if you want your prayers to be effective, please check your heart. Do you have something against somebody? The Bible says that forgive them before you pray. What hinders our prayer is not anything, it's iniquity, transgression. Isaiah 59 verse 1 to 2 says in the NIV, it says, surely the hand of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ears too dull to hear, but your iniquity have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. So brothers and sisters, as Christians, we must be willing to forgive people who offend us consciously or unconsciously. That is the only way to enjoy God's forgiveness and answers to our prayers. Now, let's move quickly to the third point. What makes our prayer effective? The third point is thanksgiving. We have Christians who are always asking. They come to God with a long list of requests, but they never find time to tell God, thank you for what you did for me yesterday. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my good health. Thank you for we don't even thank God for our work. We always approach the throne of grace with list of things, but we never find time to say thank you. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6, the Bible said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayers and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You see, thanksgiving is the expression of our gratitude to God by prayer or singing for what he has done or about to do for us. So, are you telling me that God has not done anything for you? I let me tell you, if I give you something and you don't say thank you, and I'm expecting you to say thank you and you don't say it a day and a day or two, if you come to me again and you want something, I won't give it to you. And so if God created us in our image, what do you think God will feel if he has been blessing you, he has been keeping you, he has given you a good job, he's given you a family, and you don't even make time to say thank you when you come to him in prayer? Thanksgiving, thanking God over what he did for you yesterday, is what qualifies you for more in the coming days, months, and years. We must always begin our prayers with thanksgiving, singing, worshiping the Lord, that it gives us access into his presence, according to Psalm 100 verses 4. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, not asking. You gain access by thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his holy name. Thank God. Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 19 is my favorite scripture. The Bible says that, then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry. I will multiply them and they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them and they shall not be small. So you see what thanksgiving qualifies you for. Now, let me tell you some of the benefits of thanksgiving. Number one, God likes grateful people. When you read 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, it tells you God likes grateful people. David was one person who is always grateful, going to God singing. So God likes grateful people. Now, number two, God hates complaining spirit. Christians who always complain, and they don't make time to thank God. God hates complaining spirits. In Numbers chapter 11, Numbers 11, 1 to 2, it tells you when the people complained, God killed them. Number three, thanksgiving is a spiritual application for more. Thanksgiving is a spiritual application for more. Jeremiah 30 verse 19 tells us that thanksgiving engages the hand of God against an enemy in battle. You want God to fight your enemies? You want God to fight your enemies? 2 Chronicles 20 verse 17 to 24 tells us when Jehoshaphat and God's children engage in thanksgiving, God fought their enemies for them. So if you want God to take over your battle, learn to thank him. Number five, thanksgiving gives the believer access into God's presence. Psalm 100 verses 4. The fourth thing I want you to know to make your prayer effective, prayer point number four. Number four here, it says, come boldly into his presence. Effective prayer demands boldness in the presence of God. You must remember that God is your heavenly Father. God is your Father. And so when you're approaching the throne room of grace, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 16, NLT, it says that, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help when we need it most. You see, so boldness. So let us come before him boldly. Don't come with a heart of condemnation. Your sins are forgiven. So approach the throne of grace boldly. Ephesians 3 verse 12 in the NLT says that it's because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. A believer should not come to God, intimidated, feeling sad, condemned in your heart. Listen, remember that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you. Five reasons why we should come to God with confidently, without fear, without guilt or condemnation in our hearts. Brothers, number one, your sins are forgiven and you are a righteous person. First John chapter 1 verse 9. 1 John 1, 9, he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So why should a believer come to God, feeling condemned? Your sins have been forgiven. The only thing that hinders us is iniquity. So when the blood of Jesus Christ washes you and cleanses you, after you have confessed your transgression, you come boldly to your Father because you have no sin. That is why we must approach the throne of grace boldly. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6 11. He said, as such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified in the blood, but you were justified in the name of Jesus Christ and by his Spirit, the Spirit of God. So now that you have been justified, you have been cleansed through the blood, why shouldn't you approach the throne of grace and go into the presence of your Father with boldness? Go to him. You see the way your children approach us, our children approach us when they want something. Daddy, I want this. That is how God wants us to approach him. Because there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. When the devil tells you you have sinned, tell the devil you are a liar. My sins are forgiven, and approach the throne of grace with boldness. So your sins are forgiven. Number two, you must remember that the name of Jesus Christ guarantees answers to your prayers. The name of Jesus, John chapter 14, verse 13 to 14, John 14, 13 to 14 says that, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in the name of Jesus, he does it for you. So you see, the name of Jesus guarantees answers to your prayers. So when you're approaching the throne of grace, approach the throne of grace with boldness. Remember that God wants you to come to him in prayer. Jesus, our high priest. Jesus is our high priest and trusted advocate. Jesus is your high priest. Bible said he's seated at the right hand side of God interceding for you. So you bring the prayers to God. God, Jesus Christ, is there as your mediator, talking to God on your behalf. Hebrews 4 verse 14 to 16. The Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confessions, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are. Yet without sin, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So why do you come to God feeling condemned, brother and sister? The devil is the accuser of the brethren. So when you hear voices telling you and you don't feel like going to the presence of the Lord, go on your knees. If you have any sin in your heart, confess it. The Bible says that he will wash you clean and you approach the throne of grace and speak to your Father. God bless you. Number five, if you want effective prayer, number five, pray according to the will of God. Pray to God's will. Pray according to the will of God. Pray according to the will of God, my brother. The fifth point. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. 1 John 5, 14 to 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, you see, not your will, not the will of your father or your mother, but the will of God. Bible said, he heareth us. He heareth us if we ask anything according to his will. And the question is, how do you know the will of God? You know the will of God by studying the Bible and the promises of God. So for example, you are believing God for the fruit of the womb. You are believing God for a marriage. Go and locate scriptures that promises you that as a child of God. And then you carry those scriptures. And then you go to God with those scriptures. And I said it last week that prayer without quoting of scriptures is complaining prayer. So you gather scriptures that promises you this. And then you go to God and you go to him and quote the scriptures. Lord, according to your word says that so, so, and so, and so. It is not good for me to remain like this without marriage. So I have come to you, Lord, make it possible for me. And then you plead your case by scripture. Bible says in Isaiah 34 verse 16. Isaiah 34 verse 16. It says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord. So when you carry the Bible, you go to the concordance. And you begin to look out for the promises of God regarding your case. It says, seek out of the book of the Lord. What do you know in the Bible? With regards to your challenge, what do you know in the Bible? And Bible said, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. He said, every promise you see in the word of God, as you approach the throne of grace and the presence will go to the presence of God with those promises, he said, none of them will fail. Because the Bible says that in the beginning was the word and the word was with God. And so God himself, listen, the only way you can get God, God's attention is his word. Bible said, none of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it has commanded, and my spirit will gather it and make it happen. So locate a scripture. Cover your case with that scripture. And go to God in prayer. That is how you make your prayers effective. Number 6 point. Pray in the spirit if you are a believer. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, go and see your pastor. Let your pastor take you through the scriptures and have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you have the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongues. So praying in the spirit is praying in tongues. Making time, spending time somewhere in your quiet place, at least 30 minutes, 1 hour a day is okay. We can spend 2 hours watching television. We can spend 2 hours on our cell phones and on social media. So you can also pray for 1 hour a day. It is discipline. Praying in the spirit, one of the most effective ways to pray as a believer is to spend some quality time every day in praying in the spirit. that is speaking in an unknown tongues and edifying your spirit man, and also allowing the Holy Spirit to deal with spiritual issues that you may not be able to handle by words. Yes, Romans chapter 8 verses 26 to 27 says that likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, that is your weakness. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So you switch in the spirit. At times we are confused. We don't know what to pray about. My brother, oh, switch into the spirit. Begin to speak in tongues. And the Spirit of God takes over. And then he does and touch things you may not be able to utter in your prayers. Amen. Jude chapter 1 verse 20. He says that, but ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 6 verse 18 says that praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Pray in tongues. Make time to pray in tongues. Amen. Come on, edify your spirit. Your spirit will be sensitive to certain things in your life. Number 7, the 7th one and the last one. Believe that your prayers are answered. Most of us, we pray, but we don't believe. What makes your prayer effective is believing, having faith that the prayer you are praying is answered. That is the 7th point. Believe that your prayers are answered. Mark chapter 11, verses 24. King James says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them. You see, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 6 to 8 says, but let him ask in faith. Are you asking God in faith? James said, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he would receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded person. Matthew 21 verse 20 says, and whatsoever things ye ask in prayer, believing you will receive them. Now, I want you to ponder over this point. God bless you, my brother. Let me go over it quickly for you. Number one, find a quiet place. 7 steps to effective prayer. Number one, find a quiet place and time. Number two, forgiveness. Forgive, 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 brother. Number three, develop an attitude of thanksgiving, thanksgiving. Number four, come boldly into his presence. Number five, pray according to God's will. Pray according to God's will by knowing the scriptures and going to God with the scriptures. Number six, pray in the spirit. Spend time to pray in the spirit. Number seven, and the last one, believe that your prayers are answered in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord be gracious unto you. I bless you with the blessings of the Lord. And I speak to your mountains this morning. I declare that this week, the Lord bless you. Go before you. Make every crooked path straight. Exalt your valleys and level every mountain before you. I prophesy over you and your family. I declare that this week will be your week of testimonies. The Lord bless you and keep you. I love you all. God bless you. And God bless Joy FM. Amen.